can see it there in pieces on the ground. A television war between the cynics and the saints. Hey Chattanooga, this is Greeny from Mike and Mike. More Press Row continues now on Chattanooga Sports Leader. It's ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Paschal along with Jay Greeson, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a wonderful Wednesday. This 3 o'clock hour of Press Row is brought to you by Heavenly Flavored Wings. Bite-sized wings, whole wings, jumbo wings, traditional and boneless. Heavenly Wings has every type of chicken wing there is and more than 10 sauces to go with them. Visit Heavenly Flavored Wings on Brainerd Road or the East 3rd Street location for lunch or dinner. Heavenly Flavored Wings, your 3 o'clock sponsor here on Press Row. Of course, every Thursday on Press Row during the 4 o'clock hour, we bring on Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Fame coach, and our weekly segment brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga. And back in the day of covering Georgia during the Donnan era, there was a guy named Larry Williams. There was also a guy named Josh Kendall. We've had Josh Kendall from the state to talk Gamecocks. Larry Williams, another super good dude that has been for years with Tiger Illustrated covering the Clemson Tigers. Of course, they play tomorrow night at Georgia Tech. We welcome him in on the Hardys Hotline. Larry, how in the world are you?
David, good to hear your voice, man. Been a long time.
It has been a while. It has been a while. First off, if I was to ask, why has this Clemson 2016 team not looked like the 2015 team to this point, what would you say is the chief reason or two?
I would say the first thing would be, my speculation would be, it's very hard for 18 to 22-year-olds to spend an entire offseason hearing great things about themselves. I mean, heck, it'd be hard for me and you to spend that long hearing great things about ourselves. You know, I do think there's something to that. You know, this Clemson program, not just last year, but even for a while previous to that, you know, they thrived with a chip on their shoulder. The whole Clemsoning thing that they thought, and actually the reality was that was way, they had to deal with that a lot longer than they should have. And so, I mean, I really think they were fueled by the outside negativity last year. People saying they couldn't beat Notre Dame. People saying they couldn't beat Florida State. People saying they couldn't beat Oklahoma. And then, of course, Alabama. Well, you know, the Alabama, even though they didn't win that game, I think that they gain more credibility nationally from a loss than they did a 20-point win over Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl. And so, you know, when you spend the entire offseason hearing, you know, hearing love instead of skepticism, you know, I think maybe it takes away some of that edge. I think several of the players have acknowledged that. You know, Deshaun Watson came out a week ago and sort of apologized for being so casual, for not having good body language. The offensive line has not played as well as they wanted to, or as well as anybody thought they would. But I think there's a feeling that this little two-game package deal here at Georgia Tech tomorrow, and then, of course, Louisville and Death Valley, sort of the vibe is that they're ready to take off. And, you know, I mentioned that chip on the shoulder. I think that what happened in Louisville last week might have been kind of good for Clemson, because now it sort of creates this notion, whether real or imagined, probably a little bit of both, that Clemson's not going to be able to hang with Louisville and Lamar Jackson when they come to town. And so, you know, kind of they're able to rediscover that edge and get some of the motivations that they had last year. But of course, they got to get through that trip to Georgia Tech tomorrow night first.
Yeah, and of course, that's a place they haven't won since 2003. So does this set up well that it's a Thursday and they have time to recover for Louisville? I mean, are they putting everything in proper perspective? I had a Clemson fan tell me yesterday, this game scares me to death because they never win in Atlanta.
Man, it has to scare you to death, not just the history in Atlanta, but anytime you're facing a Paul Johnson offense. Yeah, I mean, the last however many years since 2008, you know, Paul Johnson is 5-4 against Clemson, which he never wastes an opportunity to tell to tell the media that record, and he's earned it. But he, you know, the past several years, those wins, and there are a number of times Clemson fans thought they were going to walk all over Georgia Tech going into those games, and were just shocked that they lost. And man, when you have an offense like that that can play keep away and limit the possessions, it can feel like suffocating for a tempo offense that's used to running at a fast pace. And you know, that's really the biggest concern going into this one, I think, is can Georgia Tech do that again? I'm sort of skeptical. I do think they're going to cause Clemson some problems because Clemson's got a lot of inexperience at both defensive end positions, at middle linebacker, at one of the safety spots, at cornerback. You got a lot of guys who have never faced this Georgia Tech offense except in practice. And so I do think it's a daunting challenge for them. It's not one that you can just chalk up at all. I just wonder whether Georgia Tech's defense can keep Clemson from going up and down the field, because I'm just not – haven't been really impressed with what I've seen from Georgia Tech's defense under Ted Roof so far. You know, they play kind of a soft zone, not a whole lot of pressure from their front four. That was kind of a recipe for disaster for Georgia Tech and Clemson last year when they got throttled. And I think that'll be the deciding factor in this one. But, yes, I do think it's a – having that extra time to prepare for Louisville is huge, particularly for Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator. Put yourself in that guy's shoes. These two games, I mean, going against Paul Johnson is just it's a sleepless affair preparing for that. And then you got to turn around and face one of the most amazing weapons at quarterback I've ever seen in Lamar Jackson. In Bobby Petrino's offense, I can't think of any weapon at quarterback similar to that, except for maybe Michael Vick way back when.
What about you covered Corey Phillips at Georgia? Just kidding.
Oh, my God.
All right, I want to ask you this. You referenced Deshaun Watson. You referenced Deshaun Watson having the bad body language. I would assume, was that in the Troy game? Because there was that weird question, Larry, a couple of weeks ago at the press conference, because all I was seeing on Twitter was that Dabo Swinney reacts to this question where somebody compared Deshaun Watson to Chad Kelly, who, of course, was dismissed from Clemson. Take us kind of through that. What happened in that little exchange?
Well, what happened was the day before Dabo's press conference, Deshaun Watson sort of surprised everybody by voluntarily saying, and unprovoked, saying, "Hey, I apologize to you guys for the way I've been behaving, and I've been kind of impatient with your questions." And it really, I mean, you could tell over the previous several weeks that, you know, he wasn't bubbly by any stretch, but he also wasn't exactly surly either. I think Deshaun was trying to be a leader, trying to deflect some of the attention off of his receivers who were dropping balls left and right, trying to deflect some of the attention from an offensive line that wasn't really playing very well. And so I think that he sort of put it all on his shoulders, even though it certainly wasn't all his fault. Well, so the next day, Dabo was asked kind of a vague question, and it was vague because I think some people assumed that the questioner was talking about Chad Kelly. He actually was talking about Taj Boyd. The question being, you know, Dabo had a previous experience in 2011 with a quarterback, meaning Boyd, who after a hot start sort of let stuff get to his head and sort of unraveled. Well, Dabo took great offense to that question because his position is that, hey, you know, this is 5 years later. Clemson is a much different program, a much stronger program, and is not even close to being in position to unravel to that extent collectively as a team or individually as a quarterback with Deshaun Watson. And so, you know, I think Dabo stands up for his guys. He stands up for his team. He's done that for years. You know, a little combative to the question, and I don't think he was totally out of line by being so. I think Deshaun Watson deserves a little bit. I think he's earned a little bit of the benefit of the doubt over the last couple of years, for sure.
You're listening to Larry Williams, the senior writer for Tiger Illustrated, talking some Clemson football as they invade Georgia Tech tomorrow night. You're listening to him here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Larry, what was the mood like in the press conference room when Dabo made his Colin Kaepernick, Martin Luther King talking points last week?
Well, I'll say that I wasn't the one clapping.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, that was kind of nauseating to hear that, regardless of how you felt
right.
about what he said. You know, I thought that my immediate reaction was that, you know, that was pretty good because it was not partisan, you know, politically partisan. It was constructive. It was open-minded. It was and it was positive, which, you know, you don't get a whole lot of positivity in today's discourse with our society. And so, you know, the reaction nationally was, of course, a bit different, a bit stronger based on people's reaction. I think maybe his biggest mistake was talking for 10 dang minutes because
right.
there's no way that people in Florida or California or wherever are going to read the entire or listen to the entire thing, first of all. And then second of all, you know, attach any nuance to it. They're going to look for 100, whatever they can fit in 140 characters or less. And I think that since he mentioned Martin Luther King, that sort of raised some tension. Since he said, you know, I think if you don't like it, maybe you should just go to another country and see
right.
how you like it, you know, elsewhere. I think what he was saying, and I've not asked him for a clarification, but my interpretation of what he was saying when he was talking about moving to another country is that, hey, we have too much polarization here, too much divisiveness on both sides. And I think what he was saying was, hey, if you don't want to be productive and try to make things better and be friendly and love your neighbor, people on both extremes, maybe you also just go to another country and see how you like it. And again, that's just my interpretation. But Dabo, go ahead.
Now, there have been reports that some of the players have said he apologized in the locker room. Have you heard that or been able to confirm that?
Yeah, that's what I was just about to mention. Dorian O'Daniel, starting Sam linebacker, told Aaron Brenner yesterday of the Charleston Post-Courier that Dabo last week at practice apologized to the team for creating such a distraction. I don't think Dabo was apologizing for what he said. I think he was apologizing for the fact that what he said became such a spectacle nationally. And so, you know, you have a lot of these players who aren't, you know, who are from other parts of the country, and they're probably getting hit up on their phones or whatever medium, you know, from family and friends from back home saying, man, what in the heck is wrong with your coach? You know, and those people, those friends and family aren't necessarily, you know, taking a comprehensive view of what he said either. And so, you know, I think Dabo firmly believes in what he said. I think he's just, you know, like most coaches today, he's about eliminating the clutter. And if he preaches to his players not to create distractions on the outside, then I think it makes sense for him to turn around after he's created something like that, however well-intentioned he thought it was, to turn around and say, hey, look, I'm sorry that, you know, that I made such a sensation and such a viral phenomenon that I guess lasted a couple of days, honestly.
Larry, do you relish the fact, or do you know how lucky you have it that you're covering a coach who will actually answer questions in this age where everybody is guarded and everybody is going to unload the cliche of the day? You've got a guy who dances in the locker room, and as you said, rightly or wrongly, went on for 10 minutes about Colin Kaepernick. I can't imagine anybody in the SEC, anybody, with the possible exception of Dan Mullen, talking 10 minutes about this topic.
To your question, do I realize how lucky I am? Absolutely. You know, Dabo, he came after Tommy Bowden. Tommy Bowden was much like his father in the area of media access. Which is to say, anybody you wanted to talk to, you could talk to. I mean, it was like the Wild Wild West. We were sitting out in the parking lot after practice waiting on players to get out of the locker room, talking to them one-on-one, and stuff you just don't see today. And so Dabo has tightened things up access-wise, not to the point that you see, say, down in Athens where you can't talk to any of the freshmen or over at Alabama. I think, you know, relatively speaking, in the present, Clemson is still pretty good when it comes to access. But to your question about just Dabo just being who he is and being so open with his opinions and being available to speak his mind, I think it's fantastic because he always says something. you know. And in fact, late last year, at the end of the season, I wrote a book on the season, and in my acknowledgments, you know, where you thank your publisher and your wife and all that, you know, all that song and dance, I led it by saying, hey, thanks to the head coach, because if he had his guard up, if he weren't so willing to share his opinions on just about anything, then the book's probably not written, or at the very least, the book is not nearly as compelling or entertaining. And so, absolutely, it's pretty cool, in my opinion. You know, certainly I'm biased because I have to write a bunch of words about this football team every day, and I know how miserable it can be when you don't have that sort of presence at the head coaching position. But certainly, I think everybody who covers Clemson certainly values that sort of persona who's running the program.
All right, Clemson at Georgia Tech tomorrow night on ESPN. Larry, great stuff. We could have you on for another hour, but there are these things in the business we have to take called breaks, and we just thank you so much for sharing some Clemson. We'll get you later in the year if that's convenient for you.
Hey, anytime.
All right, Larry, thanks as always. Good hearing you, and thanks for sharing some knowledge on Clemson. All right, 648-1051 is the Hardee's Hotline. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.